Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. As the man said, I have no idea who that man is, but as he said, I'm Ed Vitagliano. I'm sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Wesley Wildman. Dr. Ray Pritchard is right here with us in person, in the flesh, so to speak. Ray, tell our listeners a little bit about keepbelieving.com and especially about the project that God laid in your heart at the end of 2022, which is nearing completion here.
I mean, we are 2.5 weeks away from reading through the whole Bible online in 2023. I mean, we started with Genesis, Exodus, and we've been going back and forth between the Old and New Testament. Today, Ed, we read 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3. Tomorrow, Habakkuk. After that, my wife is going to, in 2 days, she's going to read 1 John, and then we're going to go to Zephaniah, and then 2 and 3 John and Jude and Haggai. And if you know the books of the Bible, you can tell we're at the end of the Old Testament, at the end of the New Testament. So, friends, if you want to ride on the Bible bus with us here at the very end of the journey, we got seats available.
Okay.
Just come on over to keepbelieving.com, keepbelieving.com. We post a new video, 7 a.m. Central Time every morning.
Now, and, of course, we're coming up on January 1, so this is going to be available, this schedule, next year as well.
These videos are going to be online on YouTube and Facebook and Rumble and at the keepbelieving.com website. We're hoping they're going to be online until Jesus comes again.
Amen. Amen.
And folks, by the way, can find book and chapter, right? So if they don't...
100%.
You alternated between Old Testament and New Testament. If they want to just start at Genesis and end up in Revelation, they can just pick and choose, right?
That's exactly right. And it's free. It's available online 24/7. So come check it out at keepbelieving.com.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Well, joining us in studio is Steve Jordahl, the only other person that's probably not in the building and not here in our studio with us. No, there are a few scattered around the building, but good morning / good afternoon.
Good morning / good afternoon. And Ray, I think starting January 1, are you going to be reading Strong's Concordance? systematic theology by...
People have asked me, are you going to just start over and read it again?
No.
It is such a big undertaking, right?
Yeah.
Now, the truth is, there are a couple of books I'm going to go back and re-record. Oh. Because I want to I want to add a little bit extra, because I read it and add a little bit.
Wait. Yes. I've heard if you add to the Word of God, that's not a good thing.
You mean add commentary.
I am not adding one word to the Word of God.
Whatever
it is, I'm not going to add that to it, right? But a little commentary to make it clear. That's it.
All right. All right, Steve, good catch. I didn't catch what you said. I'm going to add a little to it. This book needs to be filled out a little bit.
That's right.
A little too short. All right, Steve, what stories we got?
All right. If you are in the mood to watch a movie, I'd probably pick a different one than this. You remember Meatball from All in the Family? Meathead from All in the Family. Rob Reiner?
Yes.
Well, he has turned into a big, huge secular lefty, and maybe always was. He has done a movie, his movie coming out on Christian nationalism. However he defines that, it means anybody that wants to express their faith in government and everything.
Right.
He has enlisted the help of three, I've heard them called evangelii Christians, because they're a little bit...
They're evangelical, but they're a little squishy.
So I got a clip from the trailer, and who you're going to be hearing from first is David French, who is a columnist for the Washington
Maybe National Post. Review as well. He's been around.
Yeah.
He's well known in evangelicals.
The other is Russell Moore, is in this clip, and he was the former head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission at the Southern Baptist Convention, now the editor at Christianity Today, which also could be called an publication. And so listen to this trailer from God and Country, the Rob Reiner film, Cut 10.
We should be blazing forth as a countercultural example, and instead, we're leading the charge of malice and division.
Christian nationalism uses Christianity as a means to an end, that end being some form of authoritarianism.
Being a Christian is about the values of inclusion. Christian nationalism is certainly not based on the values of the gospel.
Yeah, and it goes on.
All right. Well, Fred, listen, I have not been a fan of either of those two guys. By that, I mean Russell Moore or David French. Both of those, by the way, were complete anti-Trumpers.
Yes.
All right. And very critical of any Christian who voted for Donald Trump in 2016 and certainly 2020. There's also one additional voice that's going to be
One you heard was not this, but Phil Vischer,
yes,
who is the creator of VeggieTales,
right,
is also kind of on the anti-Trump train. I think the Trump discussion is what kind of set those guys off.
Well, and now Phil Vischer, we do want to let our listeners know, he is no longer in control of the VeggieTale franchise. So folks, don't say, well, we're not going to watch VeggieTales.
Back when he was in charge of VeggieTales, he was solid.
He was solid. So this is Rob Reiner, Fred, interviewing Christians about how Christians should stay out of politics. And for a secularist, and I think Rob Reiner is an atheist. I'd have to double check. But for someone who's on that side of the ideological spectrum, to enlist the help of Christians to tell other Christians to stay out of politics doesn't pass the smell test.
You know, a number of things trouble me about this. But number one, why would an evangelical Christians join force with a man who hates Christianity? I mean, that's number one. Wouldn't you be a little bit suspicious about what the real agenda is? And the real agenda here is, if you're an evangelical Christian, you can go to church and you can do your thing there, but we're not going to allow you to have an opinion in public policy.
Right.
Which is what being salt and light, which we're called upon to do, salt and light doesn't say stay in your church and be salt and light.
Right.
It's to go out into the community. And so what they're trying to do is silence the Christian voice. And it is still shocking to me. I've known about Russell Moore and David French for some time. I remember when Trump was in office, liberal news agencies like NPR and New York Times, they always loved to feature the comments of Russell Moore,
right,
and David French. That was a trigger also. If people like you who are so anti-Christian, they are, you know, NPR, Rob Reiner, they're pro-abortion, they're pro-homosexual, and they want to work with you,
right,
that ought to send warning signs everywhere. But these people, Russell Moore, they want to be liked so much by the world.
Yeah.
That's my conclusion. They want to be loved by the world. What did Jesus say? They hate me, they're going to hate you.
Right.
Now, we don't set out for people to hate us. That's not our goal. But our message is very, Jesus is the only way of salvation.
Yeah.
The world doesn't like that.
Wesley, what's interesting is that a lot of times the Russell Moore types, they don't mind saying Christians should be engaged when it comes to left-wing issues. Mm. It's always right-wing, conservative issues, let's put it that way.
Yes, and I'm going to try to remain calm here.
Yeah.
Because I have witnessed and experienced the misleading of the Russell Moores for years. In fact, I was one many, 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 many years ago in that camp who was very moved by their Bible teaching.
Right.
I learned biblical knowledge from their books and from their online teachings of the scriptures.
Right.
And so following them for that long, only to find out the hypocrisy and the left-leaning political side of their teaching, finding that out later, I felt misled.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'm very frustrated with this group of people because I'm not the only one that was and is currently being misled by the Russell Moores out there. When listening to the audio clip, getting back to that, my comments on it, for them to say that Christian nationalism is what's dividing the country. Let's try BLM, okay?
Yeah.
Let's try
Antifa.
Antifa. Let's try all the things we've talked about up to this point on the radio program. Those are things that are dividing the country. They don't want unity. In fact, that they would not say they would not take that same approach in any other area of life. As you pointed out a while ago, they would not tell their daughter not to be engaged in or not to, to keep their Christianity to themselves when they go to the workforce.
Right.
And whether it was any other area, entertainment.
Right.
Education. Stay-at-home mom or whatever it was that they were doing, they would not advocate for that. So, to your point, the further you look into this, there's a couple of good ministries out there that follow this a lot closer. The intentional misleading of the Russell Moores out there. If you look into this a little closer, what you'll find and where I get frustrated the most is the fact that they are involved in politics.
Right.
They are. They're just involved with the other team.
Yes.
100%. The Tim Kellers out there, they have supported open borders all along while saying government doesn't save you. But then he'll go and vote and support and petition for open borders.
Right.
Well,
yeah, on the left side. On the left side of the...
But if you get involved and say we want closed borders, then you're putting government over God.
And you're a Christian nationalist.
But now that right there, what I just said, you can clip that one up because you're not going to hear that anywhere.
Right.
Except right here. calling it. And here's why, because, and I will say this, that there is such reverence and appreciation for their theology and their study of the scriptures that a lot of times people don't want to criticize them.
Right.
Because they have a high regard. And I have a high regard for their study of the scripture, and I'm glad what they've done. But it's time to call it like we see it when it comes to the inconsistencies in what they are advocating for.
Okay. Excellent.
Sorry, I did get frustrated.
No, that's all right. Hey, you came to the right place.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, Steve, why don't you welcome our guest?
Yeah, all right. So usually when you talk about congressional committees, it's kind of in the weeds. You don't want to spend a lot of time. It's inside baseball stuff. But the closest thing to must-see TV of the last couple of years during COVID was the Senate Health and Education Committee, because our next guest, Dr. Rand Paul, and Anthony Fauci kind of often had a little bit of a run-in. I want you to hear a little bit of that. Cut 13.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain-of-function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly, and I want to say that officially.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating.
Dr. Paul, welcome to the show. And I guess the first question I have is, are you expecting a Christmas card from Anthony Fauci this year?
Well, only if it was coming from a federal prison, then I'd be pleased. But no, it's not the lack of trying. I've referred him twice to the Attorney General for lying to Congress. And it's not me alleging that he lied. I have provided them with the information that shows that he admits to his lying. We have emails gathered through Freedom of Information Act that a federal judge ordered that has Fauci in early 2020 admitting that the virus looks engineered, admitting that they do gain a function there, and basically describing the research that he actually funded over there. So no, he's dead to rights. The NIH, as approved by Anthony Fauci, funded dangerous research in Wuhan. It was gain of function research where they take two viruses or the genetic material from two viruses to create a brand new virus that doesn't exist in nature. And they are attempting to see if they can make it more infectious or more deadly to humans. And on more than one occasion in the Wuhan lab, they actually did this.
So I'm assuming because he's on the cover of your new book that inside this new book you've written, Deception, the Great COVID Cover-Up, some of this discussion you're going to get into, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, it's pulling all of it together and really revealing that not only was there a cover-up that began in China by the Chinese government, and we kind of expect, you know, under a totalitarian government, we're not surprised when we hear that there was a cover-up in China. But you would think in a liberal democracy like America, where there's supposed to be freedom of speech and oversight and transparency, you wouldn't guess the same thing would happen, but that's exactly what happened. You have at least 8 different departments of government who were funding this research, not just a few grants, but over probably a decade or more, we've been funding research in Wuhan. And there were all kinds of indications that something bad had happened, even in the fall of 2019. And yet over here in the spring of 2020, you have an organized cabal, basically, led by Anthony Fauci, that publish a paper in a medical journal that basically says that there's no way that this could be anything that was constructed in a lab, and that anybody saying that is a conspiracy theorist. Well, if you hear them in public and then read their private emails, you're like, what's going on here? They're saying publicly there's nothing to see here, and these people are crazy. There's no way it came from a lab. But in private, they're saying things like, well, I'm 80% certain it came from the lab. And this is no fringe theory. This is no conspiracy theory. Those are their actual words in private while saying the opposite in public. And they deserve, to be punished for this. They deserve to catch the blame. But also, if we do not properly evaluate what happened, we can't, you know, possibly try to prevent this from happening again.
Ed?
Our guest is Senator Rand Paul, who's also a medical doctor, senator from Kentucky. He's author of the book that we are discussing with him, Deception, the Great COVID Cover-Up. Senator Paul, your book is going to be one, I'm sure, of many that are eventually written concerning what happened regarding COVID. Do you think we're ever going to get to the bottom of it fully and completely with all the evidence out there, and do you think people will actually go to prison over what they've done?
You know, I think we've come a long way. Well, you know, I'm disappointed that we haven't had the actual punishment that I think Anthony Fauci deserves legally. I would say that in the spring of 2020, really in the spring and summer of 2021, Facebook was suppressing this completely. Twitter was suppressing this. And any mention of this was being downgraded so it couldn't be spread through any kind of social media forum. And I would say that most people had not even entertained the thought, but the vast majority of scientists and talking heads were saying, you're crazy if you think it came from the lab. But I think if you were honestly able to poll all of the scientists now who have an interest in this, I think more than half, even Anthony Fauci's return, you know, changing his form and saying, well, you know, we said it might have come from the lab, which is crazy because he actually orchestrated the cover up to say people were actually crazy if they thought it came from the lab. But I think we have transformed the argument. I think in many ways we've won the argument. I don't think we're going to win sort of the criminal prosecution part of this, but we have won the argument. And now what we have to do is from this, determine a way to try to make sure that this research doesn't lead to an accident like this. We have about 12 labs doing this kind of research in the U.S., and I've asked the question recently, if a scientist in the lab in Galveston that's creating brand new viruses gets a fever today, what happens? I don't think anybody knows. I think he goes home to his family or he gets on the subway and goes across town. You know, if there's a subway or he gets on a plane and goes to an international meeting. I don't think there are any strict controls on this. And because they're experimenting with viruses that some of them have 50% mortality, and what they're trying to do is make them more infectious, you know, which I think is sort of a death wish for all of us. You know, it's sort of like taking Ebola. Ebola spreads kind of like AIDS. It has to be bodily fluids and close contact. What if you create an Ebola in the lab that spreads through the air like COVID did? Well, that would be, you know, who would want to do that? I mean, and just to say they can do it is one thing, but that's sort of a recipe for a disaster for civilization to have Ebola spread through the air. And I think we've got to do something to try to control this type of research. And ultimately, within the next several months, I'm going to be producing a bill that I'm hoping to get a Democrat on, hoping to get the chairman of Homeland Security on with me. And this will be a bill that sets up a new committee that has oversight over all of government research and tries to prevent an accident like this from happening again.
Dr. Paul Fred here. We hear rumblings from the CDC and others now. There may be a COVID pandemic too. And there are warnings out there about you need to get the shot, that sort of thing. I guess my question is, do you think the American public would put up with a COVID-2 again, or is there enough information, enough questioning out there that the American people just aren't going to buy these lies again?
The problem is the CDC hasn't been honest, and I'll give you a prime example. The two vaccines were given initially in 2021, and then the CDC or and the FDA were asked, should you give a third vaccine to people? And the scientists on the committee, who are all pro-vaccine and really pro-mandate, all voted to say only those at risk 65 and older should take a booster. Well, it went through the FDA committee. That's what they recommended. The CDC recommended the same. But then it went to the Biden administration, and Rochelle Walensky, a political appointee, said, no, we should give it all the way down to 6 months. Now, the American public's actually too smart to fall for this, and most people are not vaccinating their kids with three vaccines. The Senate pages here are still required to take three vaccines, and I think it's virtually malpractice because with each increasing vaccine for young people, there's a risk of a heart inflammation. The risk of death is virtually zero and probably is zero for young people. But there's other questions the CDC hasn't been forthcoming with. Let's say you're 70 years old and you said, well, I took the two vaccines because I heard older people were dying, and I'm 70 and I took two vaccines, but I've had COVID twice now too. They need to tell us, if you've been vaccinated twice and you've had COVID twice, what are your chances of going to the hospital or dying if you get COVID again? I think it's probably zero because immunity works. And vaccine immunity works to a certain extent, and so does natural immunity. But the combination of the two, you would think, tell us the truth. But they're not really revealing to us what the data is so we can make reasonable, rational decisions. I will tell people, and I'm adamant about this, there's no reason to be vaccinating your children for COVID unless they have a special health concern. If your child has no health concerns, the vaccine is more dangerous than the disease for children. Now, it still may be the opposite for older people, but if you've already had COVID and you're older, it may no longer be true that you actually need the vaccine because they haven't given us enough information, though, to figure out the correct answer.
Senator Rand Paul, Senator from Kentucky, has been our guest. He's the author of a new book, Deception, The Great COVID Cover-Up. Many of you, our listeners, are very interested in this subject. We encourage you to pick up a copy of Deception, The Great COVID Cover-Up. Senator Paul, we're going to let you go. Thank you, by the way, for the courage that you have shown on this issue. You took a lot of blowback early on when it was not politically or in the scientific community popular to stand up against what was going on. But many people have looked to you to lead the charge for the truth, and for that, we encourage you to continue, and we are thankful for you doing it, sir. Appreciate all you've done for this country, even beyond that. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right, that was Senator Rand Paul. Steve, we got, 30 seconds left. We really do see, Fred mentioned, we are seeing this kind of rumor in the background that more pandemic stuff is coming down the road.
Yeah, something's coming down the road. We just finished this big, huge health conferences where they're trying to pass treaties and everything to control how countries respond to viruses and to pandemics. Stay tuned, folks. This battle's not over.
All right. Well, my thanks, frankly, would take probably too long to thank everyone who's been on. I'm just kidding. Ray, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ed.
Fred, thank you. Wesley, thank you. Steve, thank you. Chris Woodward, thank you. If you're listening, Brent Creeley, our producer, thank you. We're also grateful to Senator Rand Paul for being on with us, and also Jenna Ellis. Folks, more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow.